This is the first in a series of first aid slides which we intend to put on to help you, scouts, understand more what first aid is. As you know, you yourself have a difficult time in listening to somebody lecture to you about first aid, or demonstrate, or have you read it right out of a book, because that's not very, very interesting. We hope these slides are interesting and will catch your interest, in which you may, yourselves, learn more about first aid. We hope to teach you this in this series of slides. You see, these slides are brought to you by your own troop. Now the first set of slides is on the head and leg injuries. Now as we see here in the first slide, we have a boy or about 8 years old, and he is playing on a cliff. And the cliff is very loose sand. Of course, he fell. Here we see him now. As you see, under his leg, a rock, and as you may not see very clearly, under his head, a piece of glass. This glass has cut him badly. Now our friend has arrived, and he is checking him with the injuries he has, and he is asking him what's wrong with him. And the boy tells him he has a painful leg. In his upper part, it hurts real bad, and under his head is a piece of glass, and he cut himself. Boy, still conscious. Now, as we see, he is removing a piece of glass from under the boy's head, and he is also shouting for help. Now, help has arrived, and they're removing a rock from under his leg. And they're carrying him off to a place where they may treat him, because the overhanging ledge may fall and bury him all alive. Now they are putting direct pressure on the boy's cut on the face, in which to stop the bleeding, because it is better to have a painful leg than bleed to death, because you never feel a painful leg if you're dead. Now the leg was not exactly broken. It was a hairline split. That is, the bone is cracked, not exactly in two, just a split in the bone. That's very, very painful. You can walk on it, but as I say, it is very, very painful. Now, this is how a patient looks, bandages and all. Now, we're carrying him off to the doctor's car. Now, as I forgot to tell you, our aide, the second boy who has arrived, had a friend with him. The friend is in the blue jacket over there, and he has called up a doctor, and a doctor is down below waiting for the boy to be brought down, in which a doctor may bring him to the hospital. The next in the series is artificial respiration, and the first in this series is a drowning. Now we see here our friend, another one of course, who has been drowning. Or rather, has drowned. Now, he was out on his makeshift raft, out in the water, and thought he was a very good swimmer, relied on himself, of course, started rocking away, and fell in the water. Became panicky, as all drowning people do. Luckily, he had friends with him, and his friends spotted him fall off the raft. They swam out to him, and threw him on the raft, and pushed the raft ashore, quickly, so that they could give him artificial respiration, and thus coming in between the 3-minute limit. Now as we see another friend here. This is not the friend who has pushed him in. The friends who have pushed him in are cold. I don't blame them, because this is very, very cold water. It's in late fall, and they have gone to dress up and warm up, get something warm to eat or drink. Now another friend is taking our pal here off his raft, and he's going to give him the proper treatment. Now as we see, he is carrying him to an area and where he'd be not so close to the water, because if he gets any wetter, he may catch a bad case of pneumonia. That's very dangerous. You can die of it. Now we see our friend here. He's checking our pal's mouth to see that he has no objects in his mouth, such as sticks, branches, leaves, anything which could block his air passages. Now we see he is grabbing his mouth. He has put his thumb underneath his tongue, and he's pinching his nostrils very tightly. And as you see, in his hand, he has a piece of gauze. With this gauze, he's going to put over the patient's mouth in order to prevent infection. Now he is giving him artificial respiration, mouth-to-mouth style. Now the limit for this is 20 times a minute on an adult and 12 on a child. On him, he is using 20 because he is above child age. Child we would consider under 5. Here we are, he's giving him artificial respiration again. Now our patient has revived. Thank goodness he's alive. Thank goodness to the friend who has helped him and to the style of artificial respiration. Now I'll explain again how it's done. Now he's taken his thumb and put it under the boy's tongue, opening the mouth, tilted the head back, mind you, tilted it back. Because if it is not tilted back, the air passages will be closed and will receive none of the air. He pinches his nostrils very tightly so the air will not escape, very tightly, mind you. And then he gives him artificial respiration, blowing him 20 times a minute. And for a child under 5, 12 times a minute. Our next category is an electric shock. Now we see here a pal, again, another one. We have lots of pals, you know. He has been changing a fuse in the fuse box. And he wants to know if it really works, so he sticks his big finger in it. Finds out that it works, because he did not throw the switch. By throwing the switch, I mean turn off the current. Thus, he could put the fuse in the box safely. Here he is, all by himself on the cement floor. Now, he could have passed out, and he didn't. But he did stop breathing. Because, as you know, shock is accompanied by stopping of breathing. Now, a friend has arrived, and he's turning him over on a blanket, which he's just luckily wanted to store. He's back from a camping trip, and he threw it on the floor quickly so he would not catch a cold. And he's now turning him over, in which to give him artificial respiration by the O method. Now he's checking him to be sure that everything is proper. Now, he has put his hands, as you may see here, in his back. He has turned them over, mind you. And he has drawn an imaginary line right below his ribs. And he spread his hands as far apart as he could, in which he could cover most of the area in his back. And he is now giving a downward pressure, which will force the air out of his body. And he's now giving more of this pressure, which will force the air out of his body. Now he's pulling up his arms, thus forcing air back into his body. This system is repeated until the victim has regained consciousness and is again breathing normally. Thank you, and now stay tuned for our Campari slides.